Betsy Rosenberg, and thrilled to have my co-host D.R. Tucker on, at least for the first half of the show. We have lots to talk about. By the way, thanks, Brad and Desi, for that nod. We love having you set our table, as you so eloquently stated, giving us the latest headlines from the week so far. And also, we'd like to go drill down on some of the bigger stories, and then you catch the rest next time. So for those of you who don't know, the Green News Report does air twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday. We take the late Tuesday version, and then they do an update on Thursday. So check that out at the Green News Report. That is Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. They're doing a fabulous job on not only bringing us the facts that we most care about, and that's what's happening with our planet, but with a little bit of snarky attitude. We love that. And you're going to love this program we have lined up for you today. D.R. Tucker, very excited to have you with us, and we're also going to be talking about yet more links between Mitt Romney and Koch brothers. I guess some things do go better with Koch. I'm going to find out what that is about from Greenpeace. We'll be talking with Aaliyah Hawk. She is a research specialist at Greenpeace USA, and she is focused on climate change and corporate accountability, and that is why we're going to have her on in just a moment to talk about that. In our second segment, we hope to get someone to talk about this massive fish kill that's going on, and it is directly related to the record heat and the drought continuing in more than half of the nation, and we're only about halfway through, well, probably about two-thirds through summer technically, but who knows what September is going to bring after we've seen record heat just so far in June and July. We hope to have someone talking about what's behind this and how many fish are actually dying, thousands supposedly in the Midwest alone because of the hot, arid weather that is drying up rivers and ponds and causing water temperatures to climb, in some cases, to nearly 100 degrees. That is the water temperature. It's bad news, but it's good news to talk about it. Be aware of it. Putting our heads in the sand or underwater will only make matters worse. That is our philosophy here at the Green Front, and we're glad you joined us. And please tell your friends about this program. We shy away at nothing. Aaliyah, I hope you're with us now. Welcome to the Green Front. Do we have Aaliyah Hawk on the line?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I'm so glad you're with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes,
sure.
I do.
Sure. First of all, we want to congratulate you on Phil Radford's letter. For those who don't know, it was a letter addressed to Charles and David Koch saying, okay, now that you have funded research that we have found physicist Richard Mueller, who was on the show last week, saying that climate change is real and humans are causing it, are you going to rethink your position, and are you going to rethink funding all the denial efforts? And we're still waiting for a response. So I want to talk about that as well as some more connections. If you follow the money, follow the oil slick, there seems to be a connection between Mitt Romney's campaign and the Koch brothers.
Yes. We sent a letter. Our executive director, Phil Radford, tried to contact Charles Koch about his current positions on climate change. And as many folks know at this point, his foundation supported Dr. Mueller's work pretty significantly. It was one of the largest donations, one of the largest grants to find out more about these temperature studies. And he even told Dr. Mueller himself, we want to put this on a scientific firm foundation. And now Dr. Mueller has done that, and we would really love to hear whether or not Charles Koch is going to accept those findings and continue to fund Dr. Mueller's work.
And there was some criticism I read somewhere. This is a bit of a side note, but before I forget, I guess a USA Today reporter had written to ask, I think, the Koch brothers what they thought of that letter, and there was some pushback saying that that was premature. I think it was from a Koch spokesperson. It's really a sidebar, but they just will not get to
the
truth of the matter or answer directly. They have to keep trying to put up smoke screens, don't they?
Absolutely. We didn't expect Charles Koch to respond to us immediately. We hope that he will at some point, but we realize that the first tactic will always be to stall and distract and try to make everyone look at whatever they can other than the fact that Charles Koch is in this awkward position now about whether or not he accepts science and if he's a rational person or if he's driven by his own business interests.
Yeah, and we asked Dr. Mueller, of course, if he thought this would, his research change the position of the Koch brothers, and he pretty much hemmed and hawed, didn't he, DR?
Yes, he did. Aaliyah, in terms of a response that Charles Koch may or may not have, and something tells me that he'll try to stall in terms of his response, what is the response that you would like to see from the Koch Foundation? Because from my perspective, if they are serious and if they accept the science, they will immediately stop any effort on the part of their organization, Americans for Prosperity, to attack legislation such as the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative in New England to try to limit greenhouse gas emissions. That would be the logical and moral thing to do, but do you anticipate that they will, in fact, do that?
I don't anticipate that they will do that, unfortunately. Obviously, the best response possible is that Charles Koch says, I've looked at the science, and I've accepted that climate change is not only real, but caused by humans, caused by the burning of fossil fuels, and has a total turnaround, much like Dr. Mueller had. Obviously, we don't anticipate that happening, unfortunately, since Charles Koch is a billionaire from oil money, and it's not really in his interest to accept those facts. So we don't expect that to happen, but if it does, we will welcome him with open arms, and we would love to see groups like Americans for Prosperity accepting the science and fighting for action on climate change.
And by the way, we don't exactly think Dr. Mueller had a complete turnaround. I mean, he was certainly defending fracking, calling the possibility of clean fracking a viable alternative, but we don't think that exists yet, certainly. Clean coal
Sure.
does not in the real world. And he was hemming and hawing on some other issues as well. Wasn't he, DR, in your opinion?
Absolutely. He was still dredging up the dead ghost of ClimateGate, and that was a very, very big red flag in terms of his own views. I mean, what stunned me is, and as you can hear in our interview with him, is that he's confirming the science that was indicated, that was disputed in the so-called ClimateGate matter, and yet he's still accusing the scientists involved in manipulating data, which is just total nonsense, basically. And that was
right.
At the point that I started suspecting that that the motivations here were something less than noble. My sense is, and I don't know if this is your takeaway, my sense is that the angle here is to simply say, okay, it's real, it's man-made, now the solution is not putting a price on carbon, not trying to decarbonize the economy, but just by fracking everywhere, and by the way, don't bother disclosing what the chemicals are that you use to frack.
Absolutely. And Dr. Mueller, he might not be in the... he might not want to see himself as one of the other climate scientists, the huge group of scientists that are part of the consensus, and I think he really only relies on his own research to make that claim. I do think it's a lot of progress that he's accepting it as a human-caused climate problem. And I think Charles Koch really should, since he put a lot of money behind Dr. Mueller's work, and because he clearly trusted Dr. Mueller to come back with a quote-unquote reasonable study to determine whether or not climate change is caused by humans, it seems reasonable that he would need to accept that now.
Yeah, yes, but Reason and Reason magazine are two different things, as I always have to say.
Absolutely, yes, they are.
This will be interesting to follow because the Koch brothers have been, so closely aligned with a lot of things on the ultra-right side, of course, but particularly in the, what we call the, Joe Rome calls it the Denial Industrial Complex, or DIC for short. We call it the deniosaurs. To see if they could actually have a change of thinking that they would publicly, acknowledge. It seems impossible, yes, but as we go forward and as all evidence of climate change not only being real but having arrived, this summer, if not evident before now, it's hard to imagine how they could continue to do this going forward. I mean, maybe not before the election, maybe not in the next year, but, they are older. Maybe they won't. Maybe the dinosaurs or the fossil fuels won't be around long enough to acknowledge it, but, shame. And really, don't they have, offspring, and don't they have any concern for future generations? We'll find out. This will be a real good test, won't it?
Absolutely. And, I think that the American public can see, this summer has been very strange. There's been a lot of extreme weather. People are starting to realize that these trends are not going away. And the, Charles Koch and his brother David are really out of step with where the American public is at on this. And I think in the face of clear evidence and overwhelming scientific consensus that eventually they will have to come around and moderate their own rhetoric and also start accepting the fact that they'll need to figure out how to change their own business practices and how to, you know, stop being obstructionists on climate action.
Well, then we will know that we've turned the corner because they are, again, it seems like, you know, bottomless pockets in terms of what they can continue to contribute to the obfuscation of climate realities. I hope we live long enough to, you know, see that they do that something substantial and dramatic in time to make a difference, because that is the critical part, isn't it, that we have been hearing from climate scientists that we have a relatively tiny window, if you look at, you know, times across millennium, to turn this around, and yet we're wasting precious, you know, days, weeks, and months.
Absolutely. It's incredibly unfortunate that Charles and David Koch have such deep pockets to fund climate denial groups like Americans for Prosperity and their think tanks like the Cato Institute that continually try to undermine the science and try to delay action, saying that it's going to cost too much, using every possible reason they can think of to not take action on this issue. It's really unfortunate. I'd stay optimistic that despite all of that dirty money going into the political system, that we can overcome that, and that at some point soon we'll be able to see real reductions in carbon emissions.
Aaliyah, this is a question that I posed a while back to Rick Pilt of Climate Science Watch, and I wanted to get your take on it, since we're following the election and you know, considering the possibility that that, you know, there could be an upset in the presidential election and Romney winning. Are you concerned, or do you share my concern, I assume Betsy's concern as well, that Romney will start, that a Romney administration will bear witness to, or that they will do the same sort of thing that George W. Bush did in terms of trying to manipulate science to sort of say that the risks of climate change are not as severe as what the science indicates? We're all familiar with the controversy over Philip Cooney and his attempts to sort of massage the science to basically, you know, not make it look as severe as what the actual data indicated. Do you fear that if Romney wins, he and his minions will try to once again downplay the severity of climate change?
I'm glad you asked that. Today, Greenpeace actually just released a briefing about Romney's campaign press secretary, Andrea Saul, who is linked as a former operative for public relations and lobbying for ExxonMobil's campaigns to deny science and to delay action on climate change. And her involvement in Romney's campaign as such a prominent spokesperson and presumably someone who helps to develop the messaging and develop Romney's public face also has something to do with what Romney will, how he'll actually carry out his actions on climate change if he were to be in the White House. And I think it's a real fear if he's putting such clear climate deniers up front and right in front of the TV for all of us to see. Does that mean that he will be a repeat of the George W. Bush administration that's trying to edit science and trying to downplay their own agency's climate scientists who are saying that this is an urgent problem and saying that we need to take action now? I think that's a real thing that we need to consider, and that should be something that the campaigns are talking about.
Now, you know, Romney's famous contradiction on climate change is if one can flip-flop on an issue so important and so overwhelmingly, you know, scientific in nature. It was kind of overshadowed during the early part of the election primary lead-up by Newt Gingrich's famous flip-flop, you know, since he was the one who sat on a bench with Nancy Pelosi and said this is something we can agree on, then all of a sudden he didn't, and then the chapter that scientist Catherine Hayhoe had worked on saying climate change is very real was, you know, excised from the book that he had coming out. And then Romney, you know, also did a flip-flop, but it doesn't seem like that gets mentioned as much. In fact, I've seen, you know, shows on Current TV and MSNBC talking about, you know, Romney's flip-flops, and they almost never mention this one, which is no small, you know, change of heart, shall we say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a great example of an issue where you know, where Governor Romney will just look at who's around and who has the loudest voice on that issue and just follow whatever they're saying and try to get their support. And unfortunately, you know, how he's calculated it is that he needs to pretend climate change isn't happening, claim he doesn't know whether or not humans are causing it, and then on top of it, he hires a press secretary who, you know, literally said just last year while she's on the campaign trail for him that carbon dioxide is a naturally occurring gas and that humans emit it every time they exhale. And she said that to Politico in July of last year. Now, that's pretty shocking to have someone so far up front saying such incredibly
stupid things.
Yeah, just fairly, I mean, she's not, I mean, it's true. We do admit it every time we exhale, but that doesn't mean that it's not an incredible problem for us to handle now. Mm. And just considering that her background as a lobbying public relations account executive with a top PR firm in Washington, D.C., the DCI group, you know, their main client was ExxonMobil one of their major clients, I should say, was ExxonMobil while she was working there, and her name is all over press releases that are promoting people as climate experts who aren't climate scientists. It's all about creating doubt and confusion around the climate issue, and it's clear that she's brought a lot of that rhetoric and a lot of that ideology with her to the Romney campaign, and I think that that may be pretty indicative of, you know, where Romney's position is right now and what he would take with him to the White House.
Aaliyah, I want to ask you about a story that appeared earlier this year in Politico that, even though it's been some months since it ran, it's still a bit of a shock to me. It's about Republicans who accept the science of climate change, but they still are backing Romney, and the mentality is that they think Romney is simply selling the hardcore right a bill of goods, and that once he gets in there, he's actually going to take the lead, with the idea being that it's A, the only way to immediately create jobs, and B, he knows based on his actions as governor of Massachusetts that what the science is. And I want to ask, what do you say to people who hold those views? Because personally, I find it mystifying. I understand that there's a track record of, you know, people like George H.W. Bush occasionally going against the hardcore right on scientific issues like, you know, acid rain and the 1990 Clean Air Act. But seeing as how there's no actual track record of Romney standing up to the hardcore right, what do you say to somebody who argues that Romney is simply bluffing the hardcore right wing on this issue?
Well, I would say it's going to be a difficult thing for him to, if he were to go to the White House, to have such a clear about face when he feels a lot of pressure and may not even necessarily believe one way or the other on climate change. And I think he's flip-flopped depending on where he thinks his fellow Republicans are at and where he thinks the American public is at. And he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to me that will go against the grain for something he truly believes in. You know, I think that's one of the strategies of the flip-flop, is that then you can, as a potential Romney supporter, then you can hope that he truly believes the thing that he once was or is now, or, you know, it's hard to pin him down onto what he truly will do if he were to take office.
Well, isn't that deeply disturbing on so many levels? Just first of all, that someone who wants to lead this country is, you know, so wishy-washy, and on such an important issue. I mean, shouldn't he be called out on that alone? And that's why we're talking about doing something like a get out the green vote and just point out the distinctions between Obama, you know, as much as many of us progressives and green-minded voters are disappointed with what he hasn't done yet, compared to someone who is not even acknowledged climate change is real and human-caused, let alone begin to talk about solutions, when we can ill afford to waste the next 4 years. I mean, it seems like that has not been fully exploited in the best sense of the word.
Absolutely, and I think it's really clear that, you know, if we can have someone running for president that can ignore the incredible scientific consensus on this issue, who can just close their eyes and bury their head in the sand on something this critical, their leadership should be questioned.
Aaliyah, what about the leadership of Congress? I was reading a piece over the weekend on thehill.com about how Republicans are generally saying that they reject the idea that the extreme weather event has any connection to climate change. And there was actually a quote by a congresswoman in Illinois, I believe, named Judy Biggert, who indicated that there are quite a few Republicans who do accept the science they're not willing to say. And also there was a quote by Democratic Congressman Henry Waxman who said, quote, on paper they've all voted against cap and trade legislation, what have you, I don't think that reflects all their real beliefs, but that there's, but that's their political position, unquote. Doesn't it suggest a lot of, you know, basically naked cowardice for people in Congress who happen to be Republicans to accept the science but not be willing to say openly that this is a real issue and that we need to do something about it?
Well, and I think there's a lot of there's problems on both sides of the aisle in this situation, and frankly, even with President Obama, he's not talking enough about climate change, and I think he's even afraid to talk about the issue and take action on the issue before an election. And I think, you know, that this is a real problem, that somehow climate change has become a dirty word or something that we need to pretend isn't there, both in Congress and in the presidential election. You know, and I think it's true that there are quite a few Republicans out there. In fact, a former Republican senator, I believe, Bob Inglis from South Carolina, he's one of the few Republicans who's really trying to outreach and trying to find those folks and give them a voice and help them realize they're not alone and they can actually, you know, they can come together and be the Republicans who are listening to science and looking at facts and see ways that we can take action on it.
And we had Bob Inglis on the show a couple of weeks ago. We really applaud what he's doing. It shouldn't take courage, but it does, and he's showing it.
It does. I mean, he's one of the few people who's really kind of like sticking his head up and raising his hand to say, wait, I'm looking at the evidence, and I think we should do something about this. And I think other Republicans will applaud him for being the first person to take that step. It'll be easier that then.
And do you know if there's been backlash against him because of that bold stance?
Backlash in what sense?
Just conservatives, Republicans saying, how dare you acknowledge climate change?
Yeah, absolutely. I expected something like that would happen. And again, I think some of these things will take time to work their way out, but folks like Bob Inglis will be really important in that progress.
Again, we just don't have much time, any time to waste. That's the most, you know, enraging part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's important not to lose hope. I think being optimistic and trying to identify those opportunities and see ways that we can move forward and try to get Congress actually talking about this issue will be really important.
And DR is a climate convert. He came to my attention when I was preparing to go on Sean Hannity's show on Fox a year and a half or so ago, and I had read his Confessions of a Climate Convert column, which had just come out recently, and I mentioned him on Hannity, and DR and I have since become friends, and he's our regular co-host when he can join me. And he actually did something radical. He actually read the science, the IPCC report from 2007. Shouldn't we make it mandatory that anyone who runs for office, local, regional, state, or national, actually read the science and then say, okay, I disagree on these grounds? Which, of course, they can't really, because they're talking about disagreeing with 98% of the world's experts in their field, the climate scientists, or say, okay, I've been mistaken, as DR did, and we need to get on this.
Well, it would be really wonderful if our policy and legislation was based more on the actual scientific consensus that's out there. And I think, unfortunately, right now, some folks in Congress, you know, and, you know, a lot of them are Republicans, some of them are also Democrats, you know, just don't want to take action, don't think it's urgent, and don't want to have to confront that science. I think it's really, you know, it's great that Dr. Mueller had his, you know, his conversion as well, and that I think it's important to really highlight the folks that are willing to have one position and then switch around, because we need a lot of folks to do that in order to take action, and I think that, you know, if the more that we can highlight those folks, the better.
Aaliyah, did you have any reaction to the op-ed that Fred Krupp of Environmental Defense Fund wrote in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, in which he said that, you know, in the aftermath of the Mueller study, that it's time for Democrats and Republicans to sort of compete to come up with who has the best solution to reduce greenhouse gas emissions? When Betsy mentioned the you know, the raised the question of why don't people read the science, I immediately thought to myself that if you listen to the rhetoric from some of the Republicans, you ask yourself if they can in fact read at all, much less the science. But did you have any reaction? Do you think that Mr. Krupp is being a bit too naive in thinking that Republicans will walk back their denial in any way, shape, or form, that there will in fact be a willingness to come up with solutions? I mean, I have a hard time imagining somebody like Senator Jim Inhofe saying, hey, you know what, science is settled, let's go forward on action. Do you think this is a bit of a whistling past the graveyard, so to speak?
Well, I think Mr. Krupp is a very smart man, and I think he's in some way probably trying to call folks to action and you know, try to challenge them. And whether or not that will work, I guess, remains to be seen. I hope that it does. You know, I think one of the biggest things that holds back a lot of folks on climate change, whether or not they're Democrat or Republican, is their culture or their personal worldview on the world. And I think, you know, they will interpret the science however they want to interpret it. And so part of it, it's not just giving them IPCC summaries, but just trying to give them the science in a way they can digest it, and it doesn't necessarily challenge their own culture and their own worldview to come together and then be able to recognize that this is a problem, and we can solve it in a way that doesn't necessarily challenge their views. And so I think a lot of folks think of this as a big government conspiracy, and so no matter what, they won't believe in climate change because that's just a way for us to move a liberal agenda. And nothing could be further from the case. I mean, this is a real crisis that will affect anyone, no matter what your political affiliation is, and it's going to be a major issue if we don't take action now. So, you know, I think the more that you know, folks like Fred Krupp or whoever, Bob Inglis, or whoever can reach out to more folks on this in a way that makes them realize, like, this is just a challenge that we all need to come together on, and there are a lot of ways to solve it. Let's find ones that will work, I think it's really important.
Does Greenpeace plan to do anything before the election while we have some leverage to really point out just how outrageous this is? Because, you know, it's one thing to, you know, follow your political wins, but it's another thing to think about future generations, not to mention what's going on just with fish, cattle dying, I mean, already arrived, and, you know, what the future will be if we don't address this, and even if we do, it's still almost too late, according to some. I just find it outrageous that this isn't being made more of an election issue, and wondered if Greenpeace or any other green groups are planning to do anything to point this out loudly and often.
Well, I would personally love to see President Obama campaigning on this issue more, especially because there's such a huge difference between,
exactly,
you know, his view and Romney's view on this.
Exactly,
you know, I think
point.
It's a very clear way to draw a distinction between the two in this election season. And unfortunately, I haven't seen that leadership from President Obama. You know, I haven't seen that leadership in 4 years, and I'm not seeing it now. And it's not too late. I mean, in the wake of incredible drought, you know, incredible fires, extreme weather, derecho storms knocking out power for multiple states, you know, I think it makes sense that the president would respond and say that, you know, it's clear more than ever that we need to take action on this, and I would be the one to do this. And, you know, let the Romney campaign respond to that. You know, what I would love to see is both of them competing, as Fred Krupp, I believe, would want to see. You know, see them both challenging each other for who can have the best plan on how to take that challenge on.
What do you think that leadership has been lacking out of the White House? I go back to a piece that Ryan Lizza wrote in The New Yorker in 2010, basically a piece that noted that essentially at the beginning of the Obama administration, there was more or less a decision made to emphasize health care reform over energy and climate reform. Do you think that was a mistake? And why do you think, you know, we have the situation where Obama will do entire speeches on energy and won't mention climate change once? I know Joseph Rome, among others, has called him out on that. Why do you think that the guy who did say that, you know, this would be the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and the planet began to heal, why do you think he's not doing more to make that a reality?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I hate to think of it as like healthcare or climate change. You know, perhaps I'm just being politically naive, but they're both really big problems, and it would have been great to see both of them get dealt with in the first administration. But I really think that, you know, the president is responding somewhat to the same pressures that the Romney campaign has responded to, and why Romney has flip-flopped on the issue of climate. And that's that I think they perceive that the American public doesn't see this issue, doesn't feel that it's urgent, and that, you know, the economy and other things take priority. But, you know, that was before an incredible summer of storms, and people are really, really seeing this, and it's possible that our entire corn crop, a good amount of our corn crop will be devastated from the droughts and from the summer heat.
Exactly.
I think those are real things that people are feeling now, in the same way that the economy is a real thing that people are feeling.
And perhaps
they
should do some
repolling.
I think
it's important that the president does something.
Perhaps they should do some new research, you know, to find out now, are more Americans beginning to connect the dots, especially as mainstream media and meteorologists start to do that. And if not, well, we'll pull out our green tea party for those of us who are esteemed that they're playing politics with our planet. Talking about
Absolutely.
That, since 30 Tea Partiers were elected to Congress, none of whom believe in climate change. So thank you so much for your comments, Aaliyah. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Aaliyah Hack. She is a hawk, I should say. She's a research specialist at Greenpeace USA, probably a climate hawk, in fact. And she studied with the very esteemed Environmental Management School at Yale University. And she actually did the first research back in 2010 on the Koch brothers' funding of climate denial. We'll be right back and talk about what climate change has done to fish across America, especially in the still boiling hot Midwest, right after these messages. You're listening to The Green Front. Thanks, DR.
Is read the writing on the wall, and we can turn it around.